22, if you would, Luke chapter 22. We have been basing out of, even though we really haven't looked at it a lot, but Luke chapter 11 at the first verse when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John also taught his disciples. And so the question from the disciples was, "Lord, teach us to pray. Would you teach us, Jesus, how to pray?" And I can say the same things. "Lord, would you teach me to pray?" So many times I go before the Lord and I don't know what to pray. I don't know the Lord's will in the matter, and I have a tendency to want to pray for certain things. And yet we could ask the question, but what if I'm off? What if I'm, you know, what if this is my flesh? Do you understand what I'm talking about? You don't sometimes know if this is God's will. Now, there are certain things that we know are God's will, don't we? We know that God wants his word to go out tonight and not to return void. Do we know that? Well, we do know that because God said that he wouldn't let his word do that. And so tonight one of us could pray, "God, would you please make sure and let, you know, that your word go out tonight with power and that it would not return void." And I can count on that prayer being answered. I know, because it's God's will. I know that if the word of God is given tonight, that the Holy Spirit is going to work, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And tonight I can pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts and lives of people tonight. I can pray that and know that God's going to answer that, because that's God's will. There's certain things that we pray and we think it's right, it seems to be right, but yet we're not God. All right, so my son Ezekiel is 15, and he's excited about driving in the coming days. Now, this is he probably is, but this is a made-up story. Okay, so he's excited to drive at some point in time. And he comes to me and has a request. And he says, "Dad, I really want to drive the truck. Would you please let me drive the truck?" What Ezekiel doesn't know is that today when I was driving it, the brakes went out. Now, this is made up. Their brakes are good, okay, in the truck. But so Ezekiel comes to me and says, "Dad, I'd like to drive the truck." Ezekiel doesn't know that the brakes are out. And I look at him, and for whatever reason, I don't tell him that the brakes are out, and I say no. Now, I'm asking you the question, did I say no for a good reason? Does Ezekiel know why I said no? No. Does it seem reasonable for him to ask? Now, at 15, it's not yet reasonable for him to go out and drive the truck yet, because he doesn't have his permit or anything like that. Let's say that he's 18 and he's got everything. And I say no. There's reason why I'm saying no, and yet he wouldn't. I mean, it would make total sense that he could ask. Maybe he's a great driver and he has been out driving, you know, for a while. And I say no to him, and I have a good reason. Sometimes there's an answer of no and we don't understand why. It's a totally legitimate request, but yet we understand here why I said no. Now, that's a human story. Understand that. And so it breaks down. Let's look at Luke chapter 22. And I'm still in Luke chapter 11, but let's get to Luke chapter 22. You're there. And I want to, and you're very familiar with this. You know it probably like the back of your hand, but just let's look at this, Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. And of course, Jesus is spending time with his disciples, and he's about ready to go and pray. Verse 39, "And he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed." Now, before we read the prayer in verse 42, Jesus is God. He is 100% God. He's 100% man. I don't know about you, but I still don't have my mind wrapped around that. I don't understand that totally. I believe it. I understand the truth, but I don't understand it. Jesus knows, and he knows what the will of the Father is already, and yet he's 100% human, so he's asking a human question, and so I don't understand everything about it, but take into consideration that he is God and he is man here. But he's asking the question, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. All right, here he's asking a request. The cup, I believe, is referring to what's about to take place on the cross. Is Jesus going to have to endure much physical affliction in the next 24 hours? A lot. More than what any of us can ever comprehend. I cannot imagine what Jesus was going to be going through physically on the cross. Would Jesus go through much spiritually? Absolutely. To have his Father turn his back on him and for him to bear the weight of everyone's sin on his shoulders at one time, I can't comprehend that, and I don't know that I ever could. I know what my own personal sin feels like sometimes when I've sinned and I've not confessed it yet, and it's a weight that I don't like. And sometimes I just can't wait to get rid of that weight because I'm miserable about it. And what a relief that is. Well, if that's just one sin that I committed in one day, that I did something wrong, can you imagine all of my my personal sins at one time? Well, that would be a big load. But take into consideration every single sinner that's ever lived, that's living now, and that ever will live on Jesus' shoulders. Did Jesus go through much spiritual affliction? He did. Physical affliction, spiritual affliction, and other things. I think even emotional affliction, as Jesus was 100% human, you think it was a little bit of a struggle emotionally that he came into his own and his own received him not? Rejection. Ultimate rejection is something I don't understand. Does it make sense that he would ask his Father if this cup could pass from me? Does Jesus know God's will in the matter? He does. I believe Jesus knew that he was to go to the cross. So he even knew, and yet he asked. I think that there's a lot of element here that he asked. I think there's an element of an example for us to follow here. I really do. Because what does he say? He says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. And here's what we want to look at tonight. Nevertheless, it's kind of one of these catch-all statements that supersedes anything that just comes before. He asks for a request, but then he says, nevertheless, but moreover, on top of what I just requested, not my will, but thine be done. Now, we have been looking at prayer for months, haven't we? And we have seen in our study, just a small book that we've been following, and I've diverted from it and gone into greater depth, but The Power in Prayer by Charles Haddon Spurgeon has been a blessing, just a very small book, but so many wonderful truths in there. And each Wednesday night, we just give another little nugget to help us along in our prayers. We have seen, haven't we, that we're supposed to be bold in what we ask the Lord. We're supposed to be bold. You have not because you ask not. God, it seems as though, and we can tell him, you know, God, according to your name, according to what you've said in your word, we believe that this would be right. And God, we'd ask you to do it. And God tells us to ask in boldness and confidence and unwavering faith, and yet the throne, consider the throne. That's what we're looking at, the throne of grace we looked at in Hebrews. What is the throne? Now, a couple weeks ago, we looked at the majesty of the throne, the authority of the throne. We look at the elevation of the throne. We also looked at the humility that the subject should have, and we've looked at this position. Yet then, even last week, we looked at the fact of, you know what, he's near us, and he cares, and he wants to answer requests. But I want, before we even get into the grace part of the throne of grace, we consider the throne. It is a throne in which we come to when we pray. It's a throne. therefore, before I finish my therefore statement, imagine the throne. Imagine an earthly king and a kingdom. Imagine an earthly throne. Imagine a petition that you would like to request. Now, some of you might be a much more bold personality than I am, but I would have to admit that if I was going to go before a king, a leader, maybe even a national leader, even before the president of the United States, I think that if I had a request, I would be a little bit nervous in my asking. You know, I hope he doesn't think I'm this. I hope he doesn't take it the wrong way. I hope that he understands what I'm trying to say. And of course, there's also a hope of that he doesn't reject me. I hope that he hears what I say, and I hope that he answers. And we don't know how he's going to answer, but I even think it brings more of the story into it of the old-time king that had the scepter. You know, our president, I don't know that there's any grounds to think that if I asked the president of the United States a question, if he didn't want to hear it, you know, that he wouldn't put the scepter out and I would be killed. I don't think that necessarily, but in the old times, certainly if a subject went to before the king and just to enter the presence, and the king did not want the presence or want the question and did not put out the scepter, you're done. Now, I don't know about you, but that would put fear into me to even go and ask. In fact, I might just say, I would rather not. Okay, I'll just withhold my request. I'm not going to ask. There is fear with that, the throne. I'm thankful that the scepter's already out from our Father. Isn't that a blessing? In fact, the scepter is not just out. There's an invitation. There's an invitation to come at any time. Come and ask what you will. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door, it shall be opened unto you. Isn't that a blessing? But let's not, even with that message to us, let's not forget that it's still a throne. And because it's still a throne, we must approach it with utmost submission. Submission. What is submission? Anybody want to comment tonight? What is submission? I know you know what it is. Go ahead. What? Okay. Submission is certainly putting yourself under. What else? What's that? Okay, you're willing to do something that's been asked. You're placing yourself underneath that person, and you're available. Maybe as Bonnie's kind of, you know, you're available and willing and maybe even responsibility to do whatever is asked. Okay, I like those two. Any other thoughts? Okay, it's a saying no to myself and yes to the one in on top of me. Absolutely. Submission is two part. There's the one you're submitting to, and we look at all of that, and there's myself who comes underneath. Okay, and there's an element of sacrifice with that. And honestly, it can really be summed up with the words that we just read of Jesus. Here I have a request, but what? He says, nevertheless, Lord, Father, I'm given part of the lesson right here when I say this. But Father, and I'm given the human element to this because Jesus was God. Nevertheless, God, I'm not God. Whatever you want, whatever you think, whatever you have best for me, I'm willing. When we pray, we must have the attitude of complete submission. Review. Again, does God want us to be bold in our prayer? I think that we're not bold enough, honestly. I think we don't seek as much because we're not very bold in our prayers. We're wishy-washy. Lord, whatever, you know, just do whatever you want to today. Oh, you say, but Pastor, isn't that what we're talking about, submission? It's submission, but it's not a faithful submission. I think faith is moving forward. And when the door closes, we say, oh, okay, then God, I'm going to go another direction. Faith is never, listen to this, this is going to tie in with last Sunday and the next Sunday, faith is never, ever sitting like a duck. Never. Faith is moving. Faith is going somewhere. Faith is action. Faith is taking what God's word said and we are going forward. I love that. We're not going to just sit here. That's faith. So faith is not just like, oh, I'm scared of you and I don't want rejection, so I'm not going to ask. Isn't it? Honestly, folks, it would be easier not to ask anything because then I wouldn't get disappointed with anything. Do you know what I'm saying? It would be easier to do that. It would be easier to just be quiet. It'd be easier to just curl up in a little ball and just survive. But that's not faith. And faith says, come to me. I want you to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But he does require that we move forward and go somewhere. And we take, and it takes a lot of faith to go, knowing though that the scepter's put out already, knowing that we can ask anything in his name and he will do it. But we come to him in submission. What that means is we come to him and that we realize it is the right of the king to grant anything that he wishes or desires. It's his prerogative. It's his possession. The king knows what is right. The king knows what is best. And the throne demands that we trust in the one that sits on it. I've got requests that we want to move forward, and yet, unless God specifically gave it to us in his word, like some of the things I mentioned at the beginning, I don't know. Yet ye have not because ye ask not. And so by faith I come to him. And remember, a big part of prayer is not just discovering or not trying to convince God to get my side, but a lot of it is discovery of what God wants and who he is and what his will is. And when I come to the Lord, I do my best based upon God's word and the circumstances and everything to say, God, it seems as though this is right, but God, if it's not, if I'm in my flesh, if I'm in my own desire, if I'm off somehow, God, I care, listen to this, I care more about what you know and that you're the king, that you're the one that knows everything. You are on the throne. You know what's best for me. I'm throwing a lot of biblical principles into the statement here. You know everything, God, because you're God. You're on the throne. So God, I'm asking for this. But if there's anything amiss here, I would rather it be denied and your will be done. Folks, that is submission. The thing is that sometimes we use submission and that's all our prayer is just like, and we're not bold at all. Remember, we've got to take everything together that we're learning. The lesson on boldness and reminding, sounds silly to say remind God of what his promises, like God forgot. But even the great psalmist David, the great petitioner of the Lord, seem to continually remind the Lord for God. Remember, you're a God of truth. Remember what you said. Remember what you've done in the past. God, do it for me again now. God wants us to do that, but yet we don't get to the point to where we just demand out of God all these things because could our thinking be off a little bit in everything that's going on? Yeah, because I'm not God. And I'm not the one on the throne. And I think we need to practice what Jesus did here. Father, if thou be willing. You know, he was bold enough to ask his father that the cup would pass from him. There's the boldness, but the submission. Nevertheless, Father, if you think it not best, if this is what is necessary, and if this is what is required, and Jesus knew that it was, not my will, but thine be done. It is God's possession to give, not ours. We're simply coming to understand his truth in the matter. Yet he still asks us. He still tells us to ask. Yes, we must be earnest. Yes, we must be persistent. Yes, we must count on his promises and provisions. Yet, we are not God. We're ignorant. We're prone to err. The throne is not ours. Therefore, Luke 22:42, you can look at it again. Nevertheless, Jesus says, not my will, but thine be done. Folks, I think that we have grown, I don't know if you can identify with me, I have grown to where there have been different times in my life where I have just everything that I said is like, whatever God wants. God, I don't know anything, and I'm not going to ask for anything, just whatever you want. And I think that I'm wrong in that sort of a prayer. We've already learned that God wants us to be specific and be bold and ask for certain things, because you shoot at nothing, and what do you get? A big empty target of nothing is you hit it every time, right? You get nothing. You know, I enjoy shooting a bow and arrow. I enjoy it. I like it. It's difficult. It's not easy. I enjoy that very much. When I have a huge target, it's easy. It's easy. But it gets fun and intricate when there's a little tiny target. I enjoy putting a little dot right there and seeing how close I can come. And I'll tell you what, when the dot, as an archer, when the dot is not there, I can tend to think that I'm pretty good. Because I generally hit the area. You know, I was aiming for that, you know. Big area. I hit it. But when I put the dot there, all of a sudden I become very poor. I might shoot 10 times and never once hit that little tiny dot. And if my target is that dot, but I'll tell you what, when you hit that dot, I'm on right there. Folks, I want to tell you something. God wants us to be very specific and aim for the target. God, we're asking you to do this. Just remembering. So remember, this whole lesson tonight is, nevertheless, not my will, but thine, Lord, be done. But remember, first of all, that God wants us to aim for that dot in faith. Yet, God, whatever you have, this is the area of submission and surrender. I reserve everything. God, you can totally take it away and never do it. And Lord, I'm going to be happy with it. I'm okay with it. I am absolutely thankful. George Mueller, when he wrote that little excerpt on ascertaining the will of God in your life, is the very first point that every individual has to come to when they're asking, you know, whether knowing God's will and what to pray for is, are you 100% okay no matter what God's answer is? If there's any part of us that's still reserving, but God, you need to do this. We've not come to that point. Are you 100% okay? Whatever God says, that is submission. Are you 100% okay with whatever God says? And Jesus was here. He was. Father, if this cup could pass from me, but nevertheless not my will. And was Jesus willing to go to the cross? Did he fight and kick his way on up there? No. He knew it was the will of the Father, and he submissively, sacrificially went straight to that cross, and he died for you. God wants us in our prayer to be submissive to him. Let's aim for the dot, but let's, Lord, whatever you have for me. There's a lot that I don't know. I'm not you. I'm not God. So whatever you want. And does God always want the very best for each one of us? Is God ever going to give us second best? Oh, if we could get that, I don't think we do. Because we're disappointed when God says no on certain things. And that means we're not really trusting him. We think that he gave us second best. If we could really trust God, and we know that, it would help us in our prayer because we could be absolutely submissive. God, I don't know the truth of the matter. You just do it. And when he does it, I know that that's the very best because God always does that. He always does his best. So sometimes we make a request, like driving a vehicle, but we don't know why, but we can trust for sure that the answer that comes is a wise answer. Wise answer, wise. Because if we get in the car with no brakes, it could be devastating. We had no idea. Let's make sure that we're completely submissive as we come to the Lord in prayer. That's part of the throne. The throne indicates to us submission. We must be submissive. Okay, take out your prayer sheets. And we are about ready to go to the throne of grace and ask.